That sounds like the truth to me. And it almost feels like anything I might add would be redundant, but add I must. Thank you, Thelma. I know you're all too young to remember what radio is, but when I was your age, we had a thing called radio. And even though I don't have a regret about it, what is missing from our world is the shared experience that radio gave us. There was a we in this culture that was listening to the same thing at the same time. And the last time it was so potent and called us on our stuff and invited us to higher ground was the 60s and early 70s, when there was music that was filled with vision of a new world coming and asked us to get on board. And we don't have that shared experience anymore. But it's why we reprise these things here, because this is the new hymnal, I believe, in my heart. What I love about this particular song is that it seems to be reaching an iconic and anthemic status in our culture. And yet it's really quite demanding. If you truly listen to the words, and how do you not when someone like Thelma is singing them to you and saying, hey, wake up and listen to this. But the words are, imagine that there is no heaven and no hell, done away with that. So your motivations are not driven towards something that's not going to happen anyway. And that there are no countries, there's no us against them. Now, we're asked to imagine this, and I'm going to ask you, is that really okay with you? Because if it's really okay with you, then that means we really are willing to step up to a whole different level of responsibility and to start living as if the world was one. And that so much of what's going on the planet is indeed my responsibility. I think in the olden days, underneath our beautiful teaching that we believe in the givingness of God to all, there was something that limited it there. That we believe in the givingness of God to all, so I don't have to give it to you. You need to get it for yourself. But if the givingness of God is not going to express as every single one of us, how else is it possibly going to express in this world? Indeed, we really have great responsibility to think, to imagine, and to live as if there really is no thing, reward that we're working for, punishment that we're afraid of, or any other to be afraid of. I kind of like the possessions part. I'd like to hold on to some of them. Some of them are good. But no greed, no hunger, only a brotherhood, so that we would all indeed live as one. And that means without any other authority around us, how do you remain responsible? Well, we're all responsible. Each one of us is responsible. Every human being has a responsibility to handle their own business, and to do the best they can. Yes? And to be the presence of compassion in the world as best each one of us can be it. If we all assume this kind of real, deep responsibility for ourselves, we will find that we are being, we are embodying the great teachings of all the wisdom traditions, and even articulated by Ralph Waldo Emerson, who asks us to be self-reliant, not about merely having some kind of work ethic and gumption and getting ready to, you know, get things done, but that we would be willing to be fully reliant on that of us that is God, that is Spirit, expressed as every one of us. And if we can do that, if we can discipline ourselves to do that, to imagine that, if we can think about it and imagine that I would be willing to be fully self-reliant, there is no finer place to build your life from than from that place. If you have no fear of the future, no fear of the other, if you really, really know and deeply understand that indeed all lives matter and all life matters, if we can cultivate a reverence for life everywhere and leave everybody alone, even those that we don't agree with on certain ideas. But if we can leave people alone to do their best, it is the best possible life to be creating from. You are completely unburdened by profitless preoccupations and truly worthless ideas. But find yourself tapping into a big idea about what my particular wholeness looks like in this world. Without fear of economic insecurity, without fear of retaliation or disapproval, is the place where I know I do my best work. And all of you do too. Because nobody does good work under duress. I learned that when I was in art school, that the myth of the starving artist was the stupidest idea that had ever been coined. Nobody does good work when you're really hungry, physically starving, physically too cold. Nobody can do good work. But if you have what you need, if you have, and we are all responsible in the subjective way of having those tools, those helps, those needs that we require to do our work, you will find yourself at ease and with spectacular confidence as you sing your song, as you design your project, as you write your next book, as you bake your next pie, as you adopt your next dog, you will find yourself in utterly the ideal place. You know, I noticed Ted sitting out there, and the teaching I got from Ted, I've said this before, that rocked my world. We were talking in class one night, oh, so many years ago, when I first got here. And he was talking about being a dancer, the dancer-choreographer relationship. And he said, if a choreographer tells you to do such and such, I can do such and such. But if I do that, then you won't see what I can bring. That's really being self-reliant. Sometimes we do need to do what we need to do. But all of us have the opportunity, and this is how we are so blessedly different than all other life forms, to know that whatever we do, each one of us is an artist creating our own life, no matter what the activity is. We are always making decisions, refining our ideas, refining our actions, understanding that this strategy might be better than this strategy in a business deal. These are all artistic ways of approaching life. And that really can only come when you are at long last truly free. Truly free to be who you are. And to pursue with a whole and an open and an undefended heart and psyche and mind and soul. To be in the world. To know who you are and to be proud of it. To know that whatever skill you have worked to develop over your lifetime is what your unique beauty is in this world. And my God, your beauty begs to be conspicuous. It begs to be seen. Because it is the contribution. It is the blessing you're here to give. All of us aspire to an uncommon life. All of us aspire to good things. All of us aspire to relationships that are held in ease and some kind of grace. All of us aspire to the same things. You know that. You experience that when you travel to another country. You don't have to speak the same language, but people hold hands the same way no matter where you are. And babies laugh the same way no matter where you are. And parents want the same thing for their children, no matter where you are. More and better, better opportunity. It's all the same. All life forms, all life expresses like that. And if we can do away with the hierarchy of feeling superior to other peoples and even other life forms. We're not. It's all of a unit, expressed in an infinite number of ways. It's why I'll always do pet blessing. I will always do that. Because it's the amazing opportunity to really understand that we are in a holy communion with all forms of life. Each of them has their unique function. You know, these ideas, these imaginings, you can choose to live like this. You don't have to wait for anything. I was having, over the holidays, some dinner with some friends who are really smart people. And they weren't setting me up to trap me, but we kept coming back to a certain point. What's the point of spiritual growth? What's the point of this? What's the point of that? And I said, you know, there really isn't any point, because there's no prize to win. You're looking at it as if there was a prize to win. The point, the purpose of being in a community and being around people that share values that you share is to practice living as if the revolution has been won. Whichever that is for you, is to practice that, to find ways to be ever more confident in that. So that you can do what you want to do without a sense of competition, without a sense of revenge or fear, but for the pure delight of expressing. And you know, I ain't got no prosperity workshops to teach. I don't talk about money, because I think we talked about that for too many decades. But I will guarantee you that if you express anything from the pure place of your being, there will be money enough. There will be plenty for you to keep living and keep expressing at ever greater levels of effectiveness. And I think that's what we want. We want to know that we were effective, that we used our time well here on this planet, that we expressed whatever it is we expressed, and the message was received clearly. It's still early in the year, and calendars mean nothing in and of themselves. I've said this before, but there are energies at this time of year, that kind of New Year's, back to the gym, back to this, back to that, back to resolutions. There are energies that we carry, that we emit, as it were. And so we find it is a pretty good time to think about things. Revisit. If you've never done a purpose statement, you should. And you can find plenty of guidance on the web. Why are you here? What do you hope to achieve? What do you hope to experience? And what do you want said of you when you're gone? Think about those things and write them down. If you've done a purpose statement and you have goals which are qualitative goals, not quantitative goals, because everybody wants to go to the south of France and ride tigers in Thailand and elephants in India. We all want to do those things. Those are grand. But what are the spiritual qualities that you want to realize in your life of joy, of enoughness, of love? And then how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? Because, you know, if you're not clear, you ain't going to get there. So that is a spiritual tool for your use. For your use. In the newsletter that we sent out in July, I found a really nice statement on Tumblr. Tumblr is my new thing. I love Tumblr. And a social networking platform, if you don't know that one. About 10 questions, and it's in the newsletter. But they were good. There was something fresh and original about the way they were assembled. Simple questions like, are you happy in your life right now? Is there somebody in your life you need to let go of? What did you learn last year? When was a time that you had a profound experience of joy or the divine? Remember that time. What were you doing? Seek to have more of those things in your life that you can identify as being signal events. Let go of the other ones. I can't help but still remember to be aware that just Sunday, it seems like a month ago, but we had a memorial service last Sunday. And, you know, those memorials are units of account. They are very helpful for all of us to be grateful for friends that we have known and to ask ourselves, what is my life devoted to now? Because the clock is ticking and we don't know when it will stop for any of us. I've got kind of particular plans till 2030, but I don't know about things of that nature. But what is it that I want out of my life? We've got to ask ourselves these questions. But I also can guarantee you, the life lived according to some kind of spiritual practice, if not spiritual identity, but some kind of spiritual practice which is self-regulating, not imposed from the outside, is the single greatest gift you can give yourself as a grown-up. And so claim that gift for yourself. Claim some kind of understanding of who you are in this world and what you hope to realize. Reorient yourself to that, as we say, it may be jargon, but that of you that is God. That of you that is using this body to have this human experience. And live from that. I have found in my life that the times when I've remembered to do that have been the times of great peace and great reward. And that when you are clear that there is that in you that always knows the answer, there's that in you that is indeed eternal, there is that in you that is beyond any sense of threat and can fully imagine living the world in this world in peace, when you identify as best you can with that part of you, that not only will your work be better, and you will be happier, but you will find that it is the calming of every fear. It's the healing of every wound. It's the answer to your questions. And it's the solution to things that seem like a riddle without an answer, and yet there is an answer. And life will make sense to you in a profound, in a wonderful, elegant, and simple way. We are here to support you in the realization of that in you, and also to support you and encourage you to keep going in the direction of your most worthy ambitions. The world needs every one of us. And to keep imagining and keep living as if that world has arrived. God bless you, friends. I do love you. And Happy New Year to you all.